Good morning, church. The Lord is good. And all the time. On behalf of all of us, the good people of Newport-on-Tay Church of Scotland, I would like to welcome all those who are worshiping with us this morning for the first time or doing so after a long while. Welcome also to brothers and sisters of our church family worshiping with us this morning via Zoom, and also to those who will be listening to our service from our church's website online. As we begin our service this morning, I would like to intimate that in the course of the week, we lost one of our church members, Stuart Steen. He died last Tuesday. Can I ask the congregation to stand for a moment of silence? He who was seated on the throne said, "I am making everything new." Then he said, "Write this down, for these words are trustworthy and true." He said to me, "It is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega." May Stuart's soul and the soul of all those now departed rest in perfect peace. Amen. Please be seated. Let us worship God and our first hymn, Immortal, Invisible, God Only Wise, 132.
Thank you.
Let us pray. Almighty and everlasting God, as we gather in your presence this morning, we come with hearts full of gratitude and wonder. You are the God of creation, the one who spoke the world into being and set the seasons in their place. You are the God of covenant who declared to Noah that as long as the earth endures, seed time and harvest, cold and heat, summer and winter, day and night shall never cease. In a world of uncertainty, you remain steadfast. In a time of shifting tides, you are our anchor. We thank you that your love endures forever, that your faithfulness stretches beyond generations, and that you are always working to restore, renew, and redeem. Come, Lord, by the power of your Holy Spirit, and move amongst us today. Stir our hearts to worship you with joy. Open our ears to hear your voice and quiet our restless spirits so that we may encounter you afresh. We lay down our distractions, our worries, and our fears at your feet, trusting that you are in control. Lord, let this time of worship be pleasing to you. May it be a holy moment where heaven touches earth, where broken hearts find healing, where weary souls are refreshed, and where the name of Jesus is lifted high. Merciful and gracious God, we are humbled by the truth that you are holy and we are not. Though you have promised to sustain the earth and never again destroy all living creatures, as in the days of Noah, we confess that we have often turned away from you. We have allowed the storms of life to shake our faith instead of trusting in your steadfast love. We have been quick to rely on our own strength rather than resting in your power. We have spoken words that wounded, harbored thoughts that dishonored, and acted in ways that fell short of your perfect will. Forgive us, Lord. Wash us clean. Just as you caused the flood waters to recede and brought forth new life after the storm, let your mercy flood over us today. Renew us, restore us, and remake us through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who taught us always to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. We are marching in the light of God. It's our next hymn, 516.
Thank you.
hear these words of assurance from our faithful God. As long as the earth endures, seed time and harvest, cold and heat, summer and winter, day and night shall never cease. Brothers and sisters in Christ, hear the good news. In Christ we are forgiven. In Christ we are made whole. In Christ we are given new life. Thanks be to God. Amen. In the absence of a children's address, let's stand and sing "All I Once Held Dear, Built My Life Upon," 506.
Oh, text reading today is from Genesis 8, verses 1 to 12. And that can be found on page 9 of the Pew Bibles. But God remembered Noah and all the wild animals and the livestock that were with him in the ark, and he sent a wind over the earth, and the waters receded. Now the springs of the deep and the floodgates of the heavens had been closed, and the rain had stopped falling from the sky. The water receded steadily from the earth. At the end of the 150 days, the water had gone down, and on the 17th day of the seventh month, the ark came to rest on the mountains of Ararat. The waters continued to recede until the 10th month, and on the first day of the 10th month, the tops of the mountains became visible. After 40 days, Noah opened the window he had made in the ark and sent out a raven, and it kept flying back and forth until the water had dried up from the earth. Then he sent out a dove to see if the water had receded from the surface of the ground. But the dove could find no place to set its feet because there was water over all the surface of the earth. So it returned to Noah in the ark. He reached out his hand and took the dove and brought it back to himself in the ark. He waited 7 more days and again sent out the dove from the ark. When the dove returned to him in the evening, there in its beak was a freshly plucked olive leaf. Then Noah knew that the water had receded from the earth. He waited 7 more days and sent the dove out again, but this time it did not return to him. Our second reading is from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 8, verses 22 to 25. Jesus calms a storm. One day, Jesus said to his disciples, "Let's go over to the other side of the lake." So they got into a boat and set out. As they sailed, he fell asleep. A squall came down on the lake so that the boat was being swamped and they were in great danger. The disciples went and woke him, saying, "Master, Master, we're going to drown." He got up and rebuked the wind and the raging waters. The storm subsided, and all was calm. "Where is your faith?" he asked his disciples. In fear and amazement, they asked one another, "Who is this? He commands even the winds and the water, and they obey him." Thanks be to God for these readings from his holy word. And our next hymn is 153, "Great is Thy Faithfulness."
grace to you and peace from him who is, who was, and who is to come. Let us pray. Gracious and loving God, as we open your word today, we ask for the light of your Holy Spirit to shine upon us. Speak to us through the scriptures that we may hear not just words on a page, but the living truth that transforms hearts and renews minds. Remove every distraction, every worry, and every doubt that might keep us from fully engaging with your word. May your truth take root in us, guiding us in the way of righteousness and strengthening our faith as we journey through the storms of life. We pray in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and our Redeemer. Amen. Brothers and sisters in Christ, think with me on the theme, peace amid the storm. Peace amid the storm. Life is full of highs and lows. One moment, everything is going well. You get a promotion at work. Your children, grandchildren or great-grandchildren are excelling in school. And even the neighbor who usually complains about everything suddenly greets you with a smile. But then, out of nowhere, storms come. A sudden illness, the loss of a loved one, a betrayal by someone you trusted, a financial crisis that shakes the foundation of your stability. I once heard a story about a man who had everything going well for him. His business was thriving, his family was happy, and life seemed perfect. But in one moment, everything changed. He lost his business in a fire. His family was torn apart, and he found himself in despair. But he said something profound. I never knew how strong my faith was until my faith was all I had left. And that, my brothers and sisters, is the reality of life. Storms will come, sometimes without warning. Right now, we are facing storms, not just in our personal lives, but in the world around us. The re-election of Donald Trump has reignited debates in the United States over immigration, justice, and leadership. In the Middle East, a fragile peace deal between Israel and Hamas or Palestine holds both hope and uncertainty. Syria is struggling to rebuild after years of war, and the displacement of migrants reminds us of the human cost of political turmoil. Here in the United Kingdom, we continue to face economic challenges, political divisions, and social struggles. And on a personal level, many are facing illness, financial troubles, broken relationships, and inner battles of the mind. In times like these, our hearts cry out for stability, for something unchanging in a world of constant flux. Amid all these storms, one question echoes through our hearts. Where is Jesus? To which you reply, but Amos, where is he? This was the same question the disciples asked in Luke 8, 22 to 25, when they found themselves in a storm that threatened their very lives. The disciples were experienced fishermen. They had faced storms before, but this storm was different. The waves were too high. The wind was too strong. The boat was filling with water. And worst of all, Jesus Christ was sleeping. How dare you sleep, King Jesus, when we need you most? Friend, have you ever felt like that? Like you are drowning in problems while God seems silent? You pray, but the sickness gets worse. You trust God, but the financial struggles remain. You seek peace, but the anxiety doesn't go away. No wonder the disciples did what we often do. They panicked. They cried out, "Master, we are perishing." Their fear was real. But instead of panicking with them, Jesus stood up, rebuked the wind and the waves, and there was calm. Dear friends, this passage reminds us of something important. Our storms are not bigger than our Savior. And we must learn about the peace Jesus brings and rest in the sovereignty of God. I think one of the most remarkable details in this story is that Jesus Christ was sleeping. How could he sleep in the middle of a raging storm? How could he rest while his disciples were panicking? The reason is that Jesus Christ was at peace. He knew something the disciples had forgotten. The storm was not in control. God was. The hymn, "It Is Well With My Soul," also known by its opening line, "When peace like a river attendeth my way," has one of the most poignant and deeply moving backstories in the history of Christian hymnody. The hymn was penned by Horatio Spafford, who lived from 1828 to 1888, a successful lawyer and devout Christian from Chicago. Although his life was marked by immense personal tragedy, he responded with unwavering faith. In 1871, the Great Chicago Fire devastated Chicago, consuming vast sections of the city. Spafford, who had invested heavily in real estate, suffered enormous financial losses. Despite his misfortunes, he remained steadfast in his faith and continued to serve his church and community. 2 years later, in 1873, Spafford planned to travel to Europe with his wife Anna and their four daughters. However, due to urgent business matters, he was delayed. He sent his wife ahead on the SS Ville du Havre, planning to join them later. Tragically, on 22nd November 1873, disaster struck. The ship collided with a British vessel, Loch Earn, in the Atlantic Ocean and sank within 12 minutes. More than 200 people perished, including all four of Spafford's daughters, Annie, Maggie, Bessie, and Tanita. Only his wife, Anna, survived. Upon reaching Cardiff in Wales, she sent him a heart-wrenching telegram with the words, "Saved alone, what shall I do?" Grief-stricken, Spafford immediately set sail to join his wife. As his ship crossed the Atlantic, the captain informed him when they were passing over the very spot where his daughters had drowned. In that solemn moment, Spafford was moved to write the words of what would become one of the greatest hymns of all time. "When peace like a river attendeth my way, when sorrows like sea billows roll, Whatever, my Lord, thou hast taught me to say, it is well with my soul. Rather than succumbing to despair, Spafford found solace in his faith, trusting in God's providence even amid deep sorrow. His hymn became a testament to the peace that surpasses understanding, a peace not dependent on circumstances but rooted in Christ. That kind of peace is what Jesus had. It is the peace that says, no matter how strong the storm, my God is stronger. And so, friend, let me ask you this morning, where is your peace? Is it in your job? That can change. Is it in your health? That can fail. Is it in politics that is always unstable? Or is it in Jesus Christ, the one who can calm the storm? And after calming the storm, Jesus asked the disciples a powerful question: where is your faith? It wasn't that they did not have faith, it was that their faith was in the wrong place. They trusted their experience as fishermen. They trusted their boat to keep them safe. But they were left with fear instead of faith when those things failed. As we stand at the beginning of a new month in a world that often feels like a raging storm, we are reminded of a powerful truth. Jesus Christ is in control. The disciples feared the storm because they had placed their faith in things that could not save them, their skills, their boat, their strength. But the moment Jesus spoke, the winds and the waves bowed in obedience, revealing who truly holds power over all things. And today, he is still the one who speaks peace into the storms of our lives. He is Lord over nations, no matter the political unrest. He is Lord over economies, even when financial difficulties arise. He is Lord over sickness, even when healing seems distant. He is Lord over the past, present, and future, ensuring that nothing happens outside of his perfect plan. And his promise is true for us even today. You remember in Genesis 8, 22 to 25, after the flood waters receded and Noah stepped out onto dry land, God established a promise, a covenant of faithfulness. As long as the earth endures, seed time and harvest, cold and heat, summer and winter, day and night shall never cease. Just as the flood waters did not mark the end of God's plan for the world, neither do the storms in our lives mark the end of his purpose for us. The same God who preserved Noah through the flood is the same God who preserves us through life's uncertainties. The seasons will continue. The sun will rise again. God's faithfulness remains unshaken. And so, as we confront the uncertainties of the new month, whether in our personal lives, our communities, or the world, we do not walk in fear, but in faith. Hallelujah. Amen. Let us pray. Lord Jesus, we thank you for your presence in our lives. When the storms rage, help us to trust in you. Give us faith that is not shaken by circumstances, but anchored in your power. Teach us to rest in you, knowing that you are always in control. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Our next hymn, In Christ Alone, My Hope Is Found. The words are printed on the order of service. Let us pray. Let us dedicate the offering and let us intercede. Almighty and everlasting God, we bring before you the offerings of our hearts and our hands, our time, our talents, our resources, and our very lives. We dedicate them to you, knowing that all we have comes from you, the one who remains faithful through every season of life. Use what we offer today, Lord, to build your kingdom. May these gifts bring hope to the weary, healing to the broken, and light to the darkest places. May they strengthen your church to be a place of peace amid the storms of our world. We come before you as your people, seeking your peace in a world that is troubled by many storms. Just as Jesus calmed the raging sea, we ask you to calm the storms in our lives, in our communities, and across the nations. We pray for our world. Father, we lift before you the nations struggling with conflict, division, and unrest. We pray for the United States, where political tensions run high, and for all those affected by policies that bring uncertainty and fear. May justice, wisdom, and compassion guide those in leadership, and may peace prevail over division. We pray for the Middle East, where the fragile peace deal between Israel and Palestine carries both hope and risk. We ask for reconciliation where there has been hatred, and for healing where there has been deep-seated pain. May your Spirit bring lasting peace where human efforts fail. Remember Syria and the many displaced people across the world, forced from their homes due to war, famine, and persecution. Lord, be their refuge and strength, and stir the hearts of leaders and nations to offer welcome, provision, and safety. Here in the United Kingdom, we face economic struggles, political divisions, and social challenges that impact the lives of many people. For those who are unemployed, struggling to make ends meet, or battling anxiety about the future, we pray for hope and provision. May our leaders seek wisdom beyond their own understanding, and may our communities be places of support and care for those in need. We pray for your church. Lord, you have called us to be light in the darkness and to be peacemakers in times of trouble. Strengthen your church, that we may boldly proclaim your truth and extend your love to those who feel lost in the storms of life. Let us not be overcome by fear, but let us stand firm in faith, knowing that you are sovereign over all things. We pray for those facing personal storms. We bring before you those who are suffering, those battling illness, those grieving the loss of loved ones, those facing financial hardship, and those struggling with anxiety and depression. Lord, speak peace into their situations. May they find rest in the knowledge that you are in control and that your love never fails. We lift up those who feel abandoned or afraid. Remind them that just as you were with the disciples in the storm, you are with them now. Let them hear your voice saying, "Peace, be still." Move among us, Holy Spirit. Bring healing where there is brokenness. Bring renewal where there is weariness. Transform us into a people of unwavering faith, so that in all circumstances we may declare with confidence, it is well with my soul. We ask all these things in the mighty and merciful name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. And the congregation will say, Amen. Our final hymn, "Now Thank We All Our God," 182. Go in peace and serve the Lord. The Lord bless you and watch over you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. May God, who knows the thoughts and the desires of every heart, guide and strengthen and fill you with all spiritual blessings and grace, that you may daily rejoice and be ready to give an account of your faith in the world.